Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you today. I'm excited about having a new friend on the show with us, ladies and gentlemen. First up, we got Flip Flippin. Flip is the head of the Flippin Institute. I'm sorry, the Flippin Group, and he's worked with businesses and individuals all over the world, including one of my favorite baseball legends, Nolan Ryan, one of the greatest men to ever play the game, and he's helped a lot of people, groups and individuals, put their best foot forward with their lives and with the way they behave, make sure that who they are doesn't get in the way of what they want to become, and his book is called The Flip Side. It's a very well-recognized book, folks. It's only been out a few weeks. It's already in the top 10 books on a number of lists. As you've heard me say before, only the best for my audience. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Flip Flippin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. The Flip Side is the name of the book. Break free of the behaviors that hold you back. It's... You know, there's a lot of things out there in the world, Flip, that can get in our way of becoming what we should become. And one of those things should not be our very selves, should it?
No, that's exactly right, Jim. That's what I wanted to write about, too, is how to deal with that.
Are you seeing that a lot? Does that happen to most of us, or half of us, or a third of us? How many of us do you think we're basically our own worst enemy?
Well, you know, it varies. I certainly think that all of us have what I call personal constraints, you know, that impact our behavior and keep us from performing at our top level. And of course, some of those constraints are more impacting than others, and so you feel the pain a lot quicker.
Well, you know, you probably could help me with my golf game. I know you've helped athletes. Have you helped golfers?
Yeah, we've had some fun with some golfers, and I'll tell you, Jim, you know, in the book I talk about the five laws of personal constraints, and
right.
Then that first law is we all have personal constraints, but to skip over to address your point there, you know, law five, the last law, is those with the least personal constraints win. And you look at Tiger, and you look at Phil Mickelson, and you look at the constraints that they have, and Tiger has less personal constraints, behavioral constraints.
No question about it.
Phil.
That's exactly right.
Choked in that great match. He is a phenomenal player. But there's the primary difference.
Well, let me tell you something. See, I don't think he choked. I think what happened to him, and I have thought on this, and so I'll, you know, folks, I'm not wandering off on a golf story. I think this speaks to what Flip was talking about. What I said, Flip, was the difference between Tiger and Mickelson is that on Thursday morning before they teed off for the U.S. Open last year, Tiger already knew that on the 72nd hole, if he was winning by two strokes, the driver stays in the bag. He already knew that on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Mickelson never learned that.
Yep. I think you're absolutely right, Jim. And you know, if you really knew Tiger's game and how his psychological makeup is, you'd understand why he does as well as he does.
And folks, just pardon us for wandering off on something. Those of you who are not golfers, Phil Mickelson had a two-stroke lead going into the second, the last hole of the U.S. Open, the only tournament or the major that he hasn't won yet, and one of the ones he hasn't won yet, and. And instead of, just hitting a 7-iron down the middle and then another one under the green and three-putting and winning by one stroke, he takes out a driver and goes for it all. And he didn't have to do that. And then he made other bad decisions. But anyway, the point, Flip, is that we do these things in our professional lives, don't we?
Yes, we do. And, it's especially hurtful when you see it going on in families. But, you know, the more influence a person has, for example, in the corporate world, their constraints impact more and more people the more influence you have.
Well, you know, the family is tough, and then when you get a family business, Flip, which is some of the folks I talk to are family business owners, you get the family dynamic and the business dynamic, all the challenges of either one of those, and you put them together, and you can really have a can of worms there.
Well, that's very true, and you know, I tell you, Jim, I wrote in the book about the top 10 killer constraints, and you know, when I married Susan, although I don't think she knew it. But you know what really takes place there from a behavioral point of view is that my constraints married her constraints.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at small businesses and family
now, she told me she didn't have any constraints, though.
Well, but she doesn't. And Jim, everybody around us knows that, so thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
but
I'm sorry, but that analogy, you're going to have to use another analogy there, Flip, because she told me she was perfect at the same, and it was about the same time I learned that my wife was, too.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we need to pay attention.
Exactly.
But you know what happens is, let's say, for example, that I'm running around thinking I'm a bulldozer, and not that I want to think that, but at times in the past I've acted that way. And, you know, when you push over people and you don't listen to them, and, you know, it's really kind of your highway or the highway, although you may not say it that way, that's still what's going on. And, you know, if you're in business with a partner or another person who's right there with you all the time, and, in fact, they tend to be more of an ostrich with their head in the sand, and they're sweet and good people, but they can't stand up, draw boundaries,
speak up and push back.
Things that need to be paid attention to. It's a tough deal.
Yeah, that's a situation that I have sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I don't mean to be rough or abrupt or whatever. I really don't mean to be that way. That's not what was in my heart, but that's the way I behaved. How do we fix this, Flip?
I'm sorry?
How do we fix it?
Well, I tell you, Jim, you know, one of the things that has to take place is what you just alluded to. You first got to realize you're doing it. And
self-awareness.
You see the pain in other people's faces from some of the things you do, or you get away and you think, why did I act that way? And I think the very first yet difficult thing to do is to go back and to apologize. And I'm not talking about share the blame with them or tell them what they did, but to go back and say, that was wrong, I'm not proud of that, I want to change that behavior, will you forgive me for acting that way?
I'm sorry.
If you see it, the next time you see it, point it out to me so I can stop.
Hold on to that thought, Flip. Flip flipping, ladies and gentlemen. His book is called The Flip Side, and it's 20 after. He and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the flagship. That's the one that's been around for almost 10 years. That's where you can find the show and the archives and the articles, thousands and thousands of all those. And our Brain Trust members, over 600 of those folks in our Brain Trust membership, and like our new friend, Flip Flippin, who's now a member of our Brain Trust. He doesn't know it yet, but he is. And, you know, Flip, we're like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. and by the way, the other website, folks, is askjim.biz, askjim.biz, and that's where you can get small business answers now. It's a knowledge base. It works like a search engine, but it's a knowledge base. It knows stuff, and it'll help you out with the answers that you have to your questions. Flip Flippin is our guest. His book is called The Flip Side. It's, what'd you say, in the top 10? 10?
Yeah, it just hit number 10 on the business section for the New York Times. Which,
wow, congratulations.
First month out's great, Jim. We're really happy about it.
Well, I'm not the least bit surprised. The book is called The Flip Side. Give us the website, Flip.
It's just flipsidebook.com.
Okay. Can they read a little bit about it there on the site?
Yeah, they can. And, of course, they can go to the Barnes & Noble site. They've got excerpts on it, and Amazon, and or to our website. They can just type in Flip Flippin', and it'll come up, or flippinggroup.com. Any of those will work.
Well, folks, I encourage you to check it out, because what he talks about in here, folks, what's going to happen, folks, I think you're going to read this book and you're going to raise your head up, and after a little while, you're going to look around, because you're going to wonder if anybody else realizes he's talking about you. And because you do that, Flip, in the book you talk about each one of us, and we all have these things that hold us back, and the only way, you know, one of the blessings in my life, Flip, was over 20 years ago. Maybe, golly, wait a minute, time out. Over 30 years ago, I went to work for a company called Xerox.
Ah.
And I worked for them for a long time, and well, I say a long time, 6 or 7 years. And one of the things they taught me, and this probably is the reason why I'm not either dead or in jail right now, this one little piece of information that they gave me, they taught me how to do self-analysis.
Jim, that is a powerful point. Let me tell you,
self-analysis, when you can do that, you can change a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you can. But you know, it's a paradox, though, Jim, because it's really hard to self-assess accurately by yourself. And, you know, I always tell the joke, I was brushing my hair one morning, the boys were in the bathroom, and I said, I'm sure glad I'm not losing my hair. And my youngest said, man, Pop, you got to get around back and look. But, you know, Jim, the truth is you can't do that very well. You've got to have other people who also give you feedback. And then you have a more complete picture, because I see people all the time that they never look at themselves.
Well, but the thing
is about everybody else.
There's no question about it. I guess the thing for me, though, is if you can, I don't know how you can get other people to help you look at yourself if you can't do it first yourself.
Well, and that point, I think, is you've got to be willing to get that feedback. You know, when we work with athletes, it's such an advantage, because those guys are used to getting good feedback in coaching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we always say that feedback is the breakfast of champions. You want to run the race, eat the diet.
Say that first part again.
Oh, it's feedback is the breakfast of champions.
I like that.
And you know it's true, too, Jim, because we grow better when we see where we need to change.
Well, absolutely. And the thing about it is that one of the things I want to ask you, Flip, is talk to us about what it feels like when we feel like that, when there is a change that needs to be made. You know, for me, it's frustration. In other words, for me, if things aren't going like I think they ought to, I get frustrated, and the first thing I try to do is say, okay, what part of this belongs to me?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a really good point, Jim. You know, in the book, one of the things we wanted to do was provide the tools to help somebody identify what their constraints were. And so for each of the top 10 killer constraints, we've actually prepared a list, a checklist, that you can run down that'll help you identify if that's one that's hurting you the most. And then after that, we talk about a traction plan. A real good, simple process that'll begin the steps of change that you need to make.
Do you talk about, one thing I didn't see, and I'll ask you this, do you talk about where to go find that other help to get that feedback? Who should we ask for that?
Yeah, you know I do, and I'll tell you something. You know, if you want to talk about it in business, one of the things to do is sit down with a couple of trusted colleagues and just tell them, guys, do y'all see me doing this? And make it known that you want feedback. I see lots of small business owners that, you know, they really don't want feedback. And the successful ones, they do.
Because it hurts, doesn't it?
Well, it can, but I tell you what hurts worse is staying stupid.
That's right. Staying stupid and frustrated.
It is.
And unsuccessful.
Yes. Yes. And that's been our goal, is to help take people from where they are to this next higher place.
And well, and the thing is, folks, if you're going to be a business owner, that means that presupposes that you're going to be a leader. And leaders can only be leaders if they can find people who will follow them. And if you got you're throwing up a bunch of barriers for other folks to follow you, then you're not going to be a very successful leader. Flip Flippin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. His book is called The Flip Side, and it's available wherever books are sold. Give us that website again, Flip.
Flipsidebook.com.
Will you come back another day?
Jim, I'd love to. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Right back with David Gage right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.